The North Dakota Supreme Court says no. You lawmakers can't change the will of the people. The Iranians say no. We're not done stirring up trouble in the Strait of Hormuz. And the good folks in Medora say, no, we're not done getting new investors in the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library. Much to discuss here on the Steve Alstrom Show today on this Friday, June 26, 2026. Can you believe it? This is the last Friday of June. Oh, man. Where is the summer going? Oh, every year, summer seems to go by a little faster. Hope you're doing well today, whether your day is just starting, maybe finishing up, somewhere in between. Thank you very much for hanging with me here today. There's a lot of places that you can go to get your information, perspective, entertainment, whatever you want to call this thing that we do here every morning between 9 and 11. But it is an honor to do this for you every single day. It really is. Love to be back in the studio today after a couple days out in Watford City, where I love being too. I'm lucky no matter what direction I'm going. It is all good. And thanks to so many good friends out of Watford City that I've made over the last few years. So great to see everybody out there. A lot of good wishes after having sold the McKenzie County Farmer newspaper to the Forum. But we're still out there doing a lot with KTGO Radio and our digital marketing business and many other cool things going on there. So always fun to go out to cattle country. Everybody says it's oil country. I get all of that. But, man, when I drive out there, I see way more ranching than I do oiling or whatever you call that, drilling. Great to be in studio this morning on this beautiful Friday morning. Addison, how are you today, sir?
Another beautiful day in the life. I would consider today a pretty good day. I did not burn down my apartment. Almost did, though.
It's a success. Sure. Were you concerned when you got out of bed today that that might happen?
No. When I got out of bed, no.
I won't
lie. I spent about an hour today sitting on the floor like a small child playing with model trains.
Well, that's not a surprise knowing you, one of your big hobbies and passions. So I'm not surprised at that at all. And I'm glad that you did not burn either your trains or your house.
I got a new locomotive delivered yesterday. I put it down on the tracks and she's a sparker. That's
okay.
For sure.
Okay. Well, this is why you... I wanted to fire up the set this morning.
Tell us
about this new toy you got here.
That's why you clean before you put it on the tracks. Uh-huh. It is an HO model of a Union Pacific FEF Northern locomotive.
Okay.
So, from a company named Broadway Limited. Very hard to find these days, actually.
Okay.
Apparently. At least the specific one I wanted.
All right. So beans and wieners for you, but at least you got your new toy.
I got it. I got it clean. Does not spark anymore. Great news.
Okay. So. Oh, you don't want them to spark?
No. Okay. I do want it to smoke. They smoke out the funnel.
Okay, sure.
So it was just smoking in the wrong areas.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that that's not. You don't want things smoking in the wrong areas as you get older. You really don't. So good on you, good sir.
It was doing the right things in the wrong places.
Okay. Well, that happens to a lot of us as we get older, I guess. So continuing that conversation. All right, let's move along here. It is time for us to get into the morning wire as we get ready to deliver all kinds of good stuff for you here today on the program. We're going to start with the Almanac for today. Friday, June 26th, 2026. Record high was 96 on this day back in 1933. I wonder if they were talking about the global boiling back in 1933 on this day when it was 96. Today, we're going to get to like 74. So we'll be nowhere near 96 today. Average high in Fargo is 80 for this particular day. We will lose 23 seconds of daylight today. Don't like admitting that. Markets today basically unchanged. Nothing really moving a whole lot at all. After yesterday was kind of a mixed day. The NASDAQ has taken it on the chin. All of the tech stocks, for whatever reason, there's just a wave of selling right now. The news doesn't seem to have changed all that much. Earnings continue to be very good. But people are just, I think, taking a little profits out of there and then realizing there are companies that make soup and hammers. And meat thermometers and things like that nobody's been looking at for a while, and selling some things to buy others is, I think, what's been going on there. WTI crude oil, just a couple minutes ago, it was under $69 a barrel. Right now it's at $69.30, but that's down another 3.5%. Crude oil falling even after an attack on a cargo ship yesterday in the Strait. We'll talk about that un momento. Gold today up $38 an ounce, silver up 48 cents an ounce, and Bitcoin today is about where it finished at this time yesterday, just under $60,000, $59,890. AAA says it's $390 on average now to fill up your car with regular unleaded, not to fill up your car. But per gallon, as you fill it, wouldn't that be nice? Go to the gas station. Hey, $390. Here's a five spot. Give me $1.10 back in change. It's a per gallon kind of thing there. But we continue to drop. That's a good thing. North Dakota average price $370 on the money. South Dakota $378. Minnesota $365. How is this happening? Minnesota, the cheapest gas in the three-state area. They must be cheating over there. Diesel, $4.93 a gallon today. In the news cycle, Iranian forces struck a British cargo ship in the Strait of Hormuz yesterday as Iran continues to push President Trump's buttons during this ceasefire. Experts say Tehran and Washington are at odds on even basic points in their memorandum of understanding, including control of the waterway. And again, you cannot go. I don't even like that story. And that story is actually written fairly responsibly. I don't know if they're at odds or if Iran is just saying they're at odds. You cannot trust anything. It could be raining. It could be thunderstorm. It could be hail. And Iran would look out the door and say, what a beautiful sunny day it is right now. The leader of Hezbollah said earlier today that the Iranian-backed group there would not disarm, said Israeli forces must withdraw completely from Lebanon. Pakistani mediators have said direct talks between the U.S. and Iran will likely resume next week. Elsewhere, the North Dakota Supreme Court has blocked a legislative effort to weaken the state's term limits law. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that lawmakers exceeded their constitutional authority in the last session when they put together Resolution 4008. Trying to change what the people voted for when they voted for the term limits on a ballot measure. This is story of the day. Much more on this in a minute. Meanwhile, North Dakota lawmakers are forming a committee to study artificial intelligence and data centers. Senate Majority Leader David Hogue broke the news with our Scott Hennon yesterday on the flag, saying with all of the activity going around with artificial intelligence these days, lawmakers wanted to be able to have an interim committee to inform the legislature and the public about how AI and data centers should be regulated. The Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library announced yesterday it's gotten a $26 million gift from philanthropist and investor Ken Griffin to help complete the library in Medora. If you're wondering, Ken Griffin, where have I heard that name before? Well, Griffin is a famous investor, CEO of Citadel Capital Management. You might remember that his penthouse in New York City was recently the subject of Zoran Mamdani's video where the new mayor said people like Griffin should be taxed to the gills because they don't live there full time. The $26 million gift is one of the biggest donations to the project. In recognition, the library's West Wing will be named the Kenneth C. Griffin West Wing. An investment firm has bought a majority stake in Ide Bailey, the local accounting and tax preparation firm. The deal between Ide and Reverence Capital Partners is expected to be finalized at the end of July. Ide Bailey began in 1917, started as a local accounting firm, and has become one of the top 20 biggest accounting and advisory operations in the country with more than 3,500 employees, more than $800 million in annual revenue, and more than 50 offices across the U.S., including a big presence in the Twin Cities. A newly released incident report reveals that Carly Visner waited 22 minutes before emergency services were called after she struck and killed a pedestrian in West Fargo in May. Instead, she spent that time contacting an acquaintance instead of calling 911. Happened in the early morning hours of May 8th where she hit a gentleman. It was not at a crosswalk. The area was dimly lit. She wasn't impaired at the time of the crash, but she told investigators only 10 minutes had elapsed before she made the call. Now they found it's 22. Visner has been charged with leaving the scene of a crash involving a death, a Class B felony. And if it seems like the world has come to America, you're right. 2026 World Cup has officially set a new all-time attendance record, surpassing the 1994 record. More than 3.6 million spectators have packed into stadiums across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And a single day, a record yesterday, more than 380,000 fans. Story of the day coming up next. Some about a Friday, isn't there? Especially for those of us who have a typical Monday through Friday work week. And even those of us that have to work a little on the weekends once in a while, it just feels good when it's a Friday, especially in the summertime. And what a beautiful Friday morning we have here in the metro right now. Just a light breeze, mix of clouds and sun, and everything is so green after all the rain we had. Love all of that. You can call me today. Call me whatever you want. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They've got counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, nurse practitioner, mental health, physical health, whatever your concerns, whatever your needs, they can help you. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co. You can text me at that number as well, 701-271-1100. I am sitting right here in our beautiful studios in South Fargo in the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, making the car buying experience easier every day for people around the area, just like yours truly. Check them out, drivewithvision.com. Had a couple of text messages that have come in already today. One is a screenshot from Scott Pressler's ex-Twitter account. And he's talking about Good Friday today and apparently taking aim at John Thune, the Senate majority leader there in D.C. Yeah, Thune is... Thune has gone from like one of the most well-liked, most respected, like nobody had a bad word to say about John Thune a couple of years ago, but people are mad that they cannot get this voter ID thing through. But I was listening to an interview this morning with Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, and I mean, it's so hard to understand what they even say because they play these tricks with what they're saying. And I don't know that Scott's trying to be evasive, but he's just saying, well, we're trying to get rid of the filibuster, and we might do it a certain way. We could try to do this and just go until the Democrats get tired of talking. And I'm thinking to myself, I think I just heard Elizabeth Warren a couple days ago say, if you do this, try to end the filibuster thing and go until we're done talking, just so you know, I will talk from now until the midterm elections are done. I will find a way. Somehow, some way, which is physically impossible, but you get her point that she would then give her time or yield to somebody else or whatever, and they'd find a way. So it's so hard to understand what's happening. All I know is that 80% of Americans want voter ID in time for the midterm elections, and we have the Senate and the House and the presidency, and we can't figure out how to get this done. I get certain things need 60 votes, but at some point, when you got that many people in America that want the same thing and you don't find a way to get it done, then you missed. It's a swing and a miss. No doubt on that one. Also, apparently, Kevin and Alex said something about earthquakes today. Kevin said earthquakes are very predictable. So I don't know. I don't have much to add on that one. You'll have to talk to the good folks on the Need to Know Morning Show about earthquakes. We dive into natural disasters here every once in a while, but most of the time it's whatever, economics, politics, news, current events, those kinds of things. But you got to wander off the path here and there. Okay, story of the day. North Dakota's Supreme Court has blocked an effort made by the legislature in the last session, and they've said lawmakers exceeded their constitutional authority in what they did. So the court's decision prevents Senate Resolution 4008 from appearing on the November 2026 ballot. The measure would have changed legislative term limits from 8 years to four complete four-year terms, so 8 to 16, and repealed a constitutional provision that bars the legislature from proposing changes to term limits. Chief Justice Fair McKeevers wrote in the court's opinion, "The Constitution itself reserves this power to the people and does not give the Legislative Assembly authority to propose this amendment." All this started back when, in November 22, North Dakota voters approved a term limits initiative that went into effect January 1st of 2023. The measure limits state reps and senators to 8 cumulative years of service in their respective chambers. So you can go 8 years in the House and go over to the Senate, but then you're done. And the 2022 measure included the safeguard that prohibited the legislature from proposing amendments to alter or repeal the term limits. And that can only be done through the people and their votes. So the legislature in 2025 tried to change the 8-year limit to basically 4 complete 4-year terms, basically doubling the amount of time you'd have to serve. And it would also have repealed the provision preventing the legislature from proposing future changes to term limits. The petitioners, both members of the original 2022 Term Limits Initiative Committee, challenged the measure in court, arguing that the legislature violated the state constitution here by trying to propose an amendment it was explicitly forbidden from proposing. And the court agreed there. And they get into some terms and legalese and whatever. But the court's decision is final, so there will no longer be a term limits question that you will have to answer. And we're going to go back to what the people have said. So the term limits, they hold there right now. There is a lot of debate about this. And I'm always one that says small government better than big government. Fresh faces and people who are young and hungry, generally speaking, I'll take them over people that have been there forever and ever and ever and ever. So in its kind of true essence, I'm sort of a term limits guy. I feel like, okay, give new people a chance to get in there. And, you know, if you, I don't remember on this one, if you can, so you take whatever 4 years off and if you can come back. My guess, I believe that you can. I don't think it's a career limit. I think it's just a term limit there. We have so many people that are in there for so long, and you just wonder after a while, you know, what the motivation is. Now, the voters have the ultimate say in this, of course. And if the voters don't like the person, then they're not going to vote for them. So I get all of that. And I do understand that, you know, know-how and understanding the process, there's value to all of that. But I think that is something that is only very important to people who have been there and want to see the same thing continue. So I tend to like fresh perspectives on things and people that have something to prove and are not so far down the road in their tenure and their term that, you know, you just kind of do whatever we do. And you kind of, there's a temptation, I believe, there to just kind of go along, get along. So I'm a term limit guy, generally speaking. I get where people come from on the other side of it. But this restores all of that to the Legislative Assembly. So you're going to have some people there's going to be definite changes there. Some people have been there for a long time. Get some new faces in there. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. More on the Steve Hallstrom Show coming up right after this. Hey, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, ready to feel amazing every single day? Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Discover the wellness you deserve at the Hot Tub and Sauna Store in West Fargo. Sink into a brand new Caldera Spa. Hot tubs built for pure comfort, super efficient energy use, and easy salt water maintenance. Just imagine coming home to that perfect daily soak. I've got a hot tub, and I'm in that thing all the time. 4 seasons out of the year. If I'm going on a long run for marathon training or something like that, you come home and you kind of get the chills, you know, after you come home and kind of cool down a little bit. Maybe you're a little dehydrated after a hard run. You get that kind of chill thing going. You hop in the hot tub. That is the best feeling. The best. Imagine coming home to that perfect daily soak. And for serious health benefits, step into a Findlay Osaunus. You can train, detox, and truly relax right at home. The Hot Tub and Sauna Store, living the life you love. Stop by today off Veterans Boulevard in West Fargo. Please welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line a gentleman that we are fortunate to have on every once in a while when we need to make sense of this crazy world around us economically. Raheem Williams joins us this morning. Raheem is an author, speaker, economist, all-around good dude. And he's that kind of good friend that sends me a text every Father's Day and says, Happy Father's Day, Steve. I get one on Christmas. Maybe if I'm lucky, a beautiful Christmas card with his wonderful family. And always great to visit with him on the radio as well. Hey, Raheem, how are you?
I am doing well, my friend. And, I enjoy sending those things. Everybody don't get them, only the people I like.
Oh, my gosh. I'm very spoiled. I'll take it. Well, thank you. And you are a guy that it's a rare commodity when you find somebody that can speak in great detail with the intelligence level you bring to these conversations, but also is just a really good human being and someone who's got a soft heart and a great person. So appreciate the entire package there. Raheem, I want to ask you a little bit about what we make of the world around us here. I'm going to start by asking you what we think the future looks like here and from the tea leaves that you can read. I've often said that businesses are driven by interest rates. Consumers are driven by low gas and grocery prices. So I'll start with the gas and grocery prices. For the family that has had their budget stretched by everything that's happened recently, gas and groceries are expensive. Is relief coming anytime soon?
So in terms of gas prices, I think those are going to fall the fastest, depending on the current negotiations. At the end of the day, the Iranian regime, they're not the most honest people. Just yesterday, we had an attack in the Strait of Hormuz while we're supposed to be having peace negotiations and the Strait's supposed to be open. So ultimately, as long as oil is flowing through that Strait, we're going to see relief at the gas pump. Some people are already seeing that. I see it in my neighborhood. We got as high as $4.60. Now we're well under $3.80. So gas prices are very dynamic, and they are kind of the most responsive. Where I think we're going to see a little bit more of a lag in terms of relief, it's going to be in food and grocery prices, because at the end of the day, although there was a lot of talk about oil, the Strait of Hormuz is also an extraordinarily critical trade route for fertilizer. So the spring planting season, in the Northern Hemisphere has already come, right? Like, we're well into the summer. So the impact of those higher fertilizer prices and the impact on yields is yet to be seen. And we won't really know what that looks like in terms of food price action until like a few months from now. But it's likely going to impact it in a negative way, meaning grocery prices probably still have room to increase because, you can't reverse time and go back and plant at a cheaper cost, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the costs are what the costs are for our farmers. Mm-hmm. So luckily in America, we're the world's breadbasket, so there won't be any food shortages. There won't even be any of that kind of thing. But we aren't completely insulated, if costs go up somewhere else and there's more money to be made in exporting, you still have to compete for the good. So I am concerned about grocery prices. I do see, we have seen gas prices going down. And what this means overall is I expect the inflation rate to decrease. Currently my forecasting app, which I just sent you, has next month at 3.81% or 3.8 more or less for CPIU, the headline inflation rate. The Cleveland Fed is a little higher. I think they're at 3.9 or closer to 4. I believe my numbers are better, but
they probably are. Right. Yep.
So with the gas prices going, that's the key driver in the short term. We're going to see that. But my model also kind of have us getting flat, assuming everything goes well for the rest of the year. We're going to get to the 3% mark, but not beneath it. not yet. And I believe food prices are probably going to be the culprit there, because that's going to be more delayed in terms of the relief. Now, if the Strait stays open, you're going to see that relief come to within about a year or so, because, you know, we plant every year, right? And we harvest every year. So if the Strait stays open and fertilizer's cheaper next year, eventually those prices will stabilize as well.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I took a look at your app that you sent me this morning, which is a lot of fun because most of my coworkers will send me like stupid memes about, you know, donkeys or something like that. So it's really fun to get something like this that makes my head work a little bit here. And what you're proposing or what you're projecting here is that we're going to see a real strong drop here coming up soon in consumer prices. But it's going to kind of taper off. It's going to level a little bit. We're not going to see our numbers back to where they were maybe before the war in Iran. How long do you think, Raheem, it takes for us to get back to pre-war levels on gas prices, interest rates, and inflation?
Well, I think it depends on how you look at the pricing in terms of, like, because when we do CPI, we're going year over year. I will say core inflation is the slowest to move. So we haven't seen that even get over 3% yet, and core inflation is inflation minus fuel and food.
Yeah.
But I don't like to use that or talk about it because it's kind of weird from a consumer.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Well, what do you mean without food and energy? That's insane. So, but the point being, this year's prices, right, are going to be compared next year. So if prices are either the same or relatively flat, you're going to have lower inflation because it's just how the math is done, right? In terms of, like, if prices will go down, prices rarely ever actually go down. We see it in gas prices, but in general everyday stuff, what you hope to get is usually slower price growth, meaning the prices you pay today stay flat while your wages increase. So relatively you get richer. The thing about prices going down is that economists call that deflation, and it almost only happens in a recession. So weirdly enough, you don't necessarily want prices to go down. You want prices to stay flat and wages to go up. That's generally what we're aiming for. Anytime wage growth outpaces inflation, it's a good thing. That means people are getting richer. So obviously we both buy things, everybody buys stuff. So it will be a great world if we can just keep the prices flat for a while.
Yeah. We'll take that for sure.
Yeah. So that's generally, and I believe if the negotiations go well, we could see that within a year, to be very clear. If the negotiations go poorly, I think you will still see it, weirdly enough. Like, if the war is to resume, because at the end of the day, global supply chains are they're not instant, but they're responsive. So even during the war, we kind of seen gas prices peak and then start to go down. We kind of, you know, like, people will find new places to get fertilizer. So my thing is, and also you'd be comparing like $4 gas to $4 gas next year. So either which way, you could still see a world in which the inflation rate tapers, even if the war goes on.
Yep.
But we don't want the war to go on because that's expensive for us as taxpayers. We don't want people dying. But at the end of the day, you know, your guess is as good as mine in terms of how goodwill or negotiating in good faith the Iranian regime is. I don't trust them as far as
no,
I can
I'm the same way. We talk about that all the time. They were saying that we're not talking to J.D. Vance no matter what when they were in the room with him on Sunday. So they're just, I don't know. It's just super disjointed. All right, so let's talk about the businesses then. We've talked about the consumer. How about businesses here? Will, if I need to take out a new loan to add a piece of equipment or something like that, what are we looking at with interest rates for businesses, and what is that going to do for our commercial economy here? What are businesses looking at when it comes to interest rates?
Well, it's definitely not just business. It's also consumers, because I'm dealing with the mortgage rate question in real time. So,
gotcha.
So, I think on the interest rates, we really need this war to be over. I don't see a world in which the war continues, and that's good for interest rates. Mostly because interest rates are partly responsive in terms of to inflation. That makes sense, right? The cost of money is what an interest rate is. And if inflation's running wild, then I have to charge higher interest to to make money off a loan. With that being said, it's also far more speculative and kind of attached to bond markets. Or intricately attached to bond markets. So I think if the war is to continue and hostilities continue, it's going to spook a lot of bond investors. And that is where you're going to see interest rates climb higher. And that can get ugly really quick. So I think interest rates are way more sensitive, particularly in the short term, to what a peace deal may look like. And I'll be very clear, I don't think interest rates actually care if the peace deal is good, as long as the fighting isn't continuing.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
If the deal is good or not is a political question. The economic question is, are the flow of goods going on? What are future costs going to look like? So that's an entire different investor question there.
Yeah.
So I think businesses really, 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 if you want to see interest rates go down, and you saw a little bit of this with the peace deal being announced.
Yep. Yep. So good stuff. Arin, got to leave it there, my friend. Wish we had all day to visit about this stuff. Thanks for sharing your perspective on it. And it's stuff that matters to us, definitely. Hey, thanks. Blessings to you and your family. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Banana Ball coming to Fargo tonight. We'll talk about it next. Getting a full new smile in one day. It can be done, my friend. It can be done, but you got to go to the right people. If you come to me and Addison and say, hey, guys, can you take care of this dental work for me? It's not going to go well. But if you
know
go
that
to,
for sure.
Well, it's a fair guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty fair guess.
I'll let you take a shot at it. I'll sit this one out. I'll grab some popcorn and maybe just watch. But Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, he's the guy you want doing this. He has extensive advanced training in implant dentistry. That's the guy to call. Advanced 3D imaging, digital planning, in-house technology. Each smile is carefully planned before treatment even begins, and many patients are able to walk out the same day with a strong, natural-looking full smile. A compassionate team, comfortable experience, financing options available as well. Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. DakotaImplant.com. Smile like you mean it. Smile like you mean it. DakotaImplant.com. So of all the people that work here in our building, I would say the person who cares about sports the least is probably Alex Taylor from the Need to Know Morning Show. Alex, a wonderful human being, but I have concerns about her character because she doesn't like sports. How can you not like sports? Every time when I was doing Need to Know with Kevin and Alex and we started talking about sports, Alex would just lean back in her chair, eyes would glaze over, wake me up when it's done. But I saw Alex today getting done with the show. On my way in, her way out, and she had a little spring in her step. And I said, hey, you look like you're on the frisky side of things today. I said, what gives? She goes, I'm going to Banana Ball tonight. I'm like, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I said, you're going to Banana Ball? She said, oh, yeah. She said, when I heard they were coming, I told Jay we got to get tickets and go. And I still am in somewhat of a state of shock about this one. Have you heard about Banana Ball? I don't know that you can escape it much these days. It started with a organization out of Savannah, Georgia. And they decided they were going to kind of just have fun and play baseball, kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters. Just make baseball really, really fun and kind of goofy and silly. And so they started coming up with this idea and started playing some games, and it just took off. And they've sold out like Yankee Stadium, some big college like Clemson's football stadium. They turned that into a baseball stadium. And tens of thousands of people will go to watch Banana Ball. And so Banana Ball is coming to Fargo here tonight. There are six teams in the Banana Ball League. The Savannah Bananas were kind of the OGs. But now you've got the Party Animals, the Texas Tailgaters, the Loco Beach Coconuts. I love it, the Loco Beach Coconuts. And you have also got the Firefighters and the Clowns. So you got the Firefighters and the Clowns playing ball tonight. Not like Fargo Fire. Nope, this is the Firefighters. And the Clowns are actually named the Indianapolis Clowns. And there are games tonight and tomorrow, 7 o'clock up at Newman Outdoor Stadium. So it is the same brand. It's not the original Savannah Bananas. They're not coming to Fargo. They're going to where they can fit, you know, 50, 60,000 people in. But a couple of these other teams, they go around to places like this. Former Redhawks player, I'm reading the forum article about this, Carell Prime plays for the Clowns. Another former FM player, Lamar Sparks, plays for the Firefighters. So won't that be fun? Those guys back here at the stadium where they kind of got involved in pro baseball. What is Banana Ball? How do you explain it? I don't know that I can. There are YouTube videos where you can kind of check out the rules. But basically, it is baseball. They are trying to pitch it past the batter. The batter's trying to hit it. But they'll all of a sudden decide, like, okay, in this inning, there can't be anybody on the left side of second base. And so someone will bunt it toward third base and get to second base because there's nobody over there. And sometimes they will have plays where they're, like, doing, like, gymnastics routines on the field, flipping around and things like that. And then they might just start singing right in the middle of an inning and dancing around. And seeing a couple of these videos on TV, flipping through when you see it, you can't flip through and not sit and watch it for 5 minutes to see what crazy thing they're going to do. I kind of understand why Alex wants to go. You got a bunch of 20-something guys who are in fantastic shape. Baseball players have been in the weight room a time or two, and they rip their shirts off and start dancing around. So there's a little something for everybody there. But Banana Ball coming tonight to Newman Outdoor Stadium. Tickets sold out in like a day a long time ago here. And so you can't get tickets. I imagine if you go on StubHub and look on the secondary market, you can find them. But they're not going to be cheap. The games have a two-hour time limit, so you're not going to be there all night. There's a post-game party out in the plaza there as well. So pretty fun. Pretty fun there. If it goes nine innings, maybe they get nine innings in and they're done inside of 2 hours. Who knows? So the forum's got a nice write-up. You can see kind of all the different rules and quirks of it there. Hour two of the program coming up next. All right, update on Banana Ball tickets from the text line. Steve, Banana Ball has their own exchange ticket system. To do tickets if you want to exchange or trade or sell or whatever. That makes some sense, actually. If you get, a dollar service charge on every sale and you don't want them going somewhere else, well, then that's how you do it. I looked on StubHub a minute ago just to see if what they're going for on secondary market, because I'm sure there are people that would pay well above face value to go. And you can't find them, not for these games. For the Savannah Bananas, you can when they're playing. But these are two other teams in the league that are not the Bananas. So you can't apparently do it on your StubHubs or Vivid Seats or whatever else. So you got to do it through their ticket exchange, it looks like. So thank you, Texter, for explaining to me why I could not find what the going rate was. I always like to try to give you those things when I can. All right, second hour of the program today, and I got a lot of ground to cover. It is time for the key three. We'll start with that as we work our way through the pile of things to tell you about here in the second hour of the program. And these are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. And the first one comes to us from CNBC, the cable news website, which also runs a very good market website with news and information. They're a little liberal. They're a little left on CNBC, but you can find good information. You just got to sort through the garbage. And they write that with inflation topping 4%, the Trump administration is easing off its longstanding calls for the Federal Reserve to immediately cut interest rates. And this gives the new Fed chairman, Kevin Warsh, handpicked by the president, an extended political grace period as he deals with a challenging economic environment. President Trump said as recently as Wednesday that he still wants lower interest rates and is wanting the Fed to do what they can on this. But meanwhile, several of the president's top economic advisors in recent interviews and in messages, emails, whatever, have stopped calling for near-term rate cuts as they were doing in the past. So is this really division between the president and his advisors? CNBC says, no, not necessarily so. But the president is going to go out there with some big picture stuff, 10,000-foot view, forest for the trees. And then his economic advisors are going to kind of take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. So the president wants that theme out there, but you're not going to get the heavy-duty push like you were getting before under Jerome Powell, where the president was going both barrels and so were all of his advisors there. One official speaking on condition of anonymity, which always makes me a little nervous here, but this official said to CNBC, I wouldn't necessarily say this is a shift in policy or a change in how we're seeing the data, but personnel is big for this president. And the president has confidence and faith in Kevin Warsh and is going to let him make decisions that he did not trust Jerome Powell to make. So what's the takeaway? What's the so what of this story here? Is that I think this tells you all you need to know about Warsh and his relationship with the president. I think Warsh understands 100% where the president is coming from. There's no question that he has done a wink, wink, nod, nod, elbow to the ribs, like, hey, we'll get there, or I'm going to do everything I can to get us there. He's only one vote of 12. But right now, with things going up the way they have, you just got to give us a little bit of time. So I think the president knows Warsh. I think he trusts him. And because of that, he's backing off the rhetoric. So don't be fooled by position of the president is. And he's still out saying we need lower interest rates. It's not like he's giving up on that. But you may not hear the all-out assault the way you had been hearing it being done with Jerome Powell, who the president did not trust. Speaking of high interest rates, we give you the war in Iran. And this little nugget came through earlier this morning, and I don't hear anybody talking about this, which I think is very strange. So these are the kind of things I love talking about. Things where I go, this this seems important, and no one's talking about it. And this actually was reported by Fox News Channel here. When did this come through? Oh, just a few minutes ago. Maybe that's why nobody's talking about it. I thought I heard something about this earlier today. Anyway, Fox News reporting here just in the last few minutes that the IRGC, the Islamic Guard, forced three foreign oil tankers to turn around in the Strait of Hormuz this morning. Oh, goody. Just when you thought your gas prices were going down. We'll see. There might be a little bit of fatigue with all of this up and down and should we not, whatever. Is the war ending? I don't know. What are the markets going to do? Who knows? There might be a little bit more patience these days because they're just tired of reacting to every little thing that might happen. But there was yesterday, a British ship was fired on by drones, Iranian drones, in the Gulf. And today, three foreign oil tankers were forced to turn around in the Strait. The reports come to us from Al Jazeera and Turkish state-affiliated broadcaster Anadolu. corroborating the reports. An Iranian state broadcaster is also saying this, but you can't trust any of that. But Fox News now believes enough out of this that they're going to talk about it as well. The vessels attempted to cross the southern tip of the strait without coordinating their travel with Iranian authorities. That prompted the IRGC to issue a warning that attempting to cross without Tehran's permission was illegal, unacceptable, and highly dangerous. The vessels then turned back toward the Persian Gulf. The president earlier today has said the Strait of Hormuz is accessible and open. So we are seeing clear different understandings of that. And this is, again, what I talked about, I forget when it was, Monday, Tuesday, when I told you this is going back to military conflict in my mind. There's no question. It almost has to. Not that I want that, but what other options are you going to have here? I mean, honestly, the memorandum that apparently they agreed to and that the Pakistani mediator said that they agreed to says that the strait is going to be open. Not just one little channel or one little part of it, but the whole thing is going to be open because that's important for everybody and everything when it comes to getting product around and lowering prices on things. So I don't know, you guys. How long does the president wait to start firing on Iran and reopening military operations? He clearly doesn't want to do it, but he's going to have to. I don't know that there's any other choice on this. And finally, story number three, the North Dakota Supreme Court is giving a slap on the wrist to the North Dakota legislature, who says that you are exceeding your constitutional authority in proposing a measure to change what the people have already decided about term limits. The current law, based on a 2022 ballot measure that was approved by North Dakotans, says that you cannot serve more than 8 years before you have to leave the legislature in the House or 8 years in the Senate or 8 years as governor. And the legislature changed that, said, well, let's change this. Let's put something on the ballot again and change this a little bit in saying four complete four-year terms, so basically doubling that. But the Supreme Court of North Dakota has said that they have overstepped their boundaries. They cannot put that measure on the ballot. And so there will not be one, and there was going to be one, and now there will not. And the vote of the people will stay on this one, will remain in effect. So this is a big deal because there are a lot of people in the legislature who are not in favor of this. And I get their arguments. They're not wrong to argue what they are. But the people of North Dakota said in this initiated measure that they signed that they want an 8-year term limit. So they cannot change that by the legislature's bills, resolutions, proposals, whatever, to put something on the ballot. That will not fly. And those, friends, are the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Coming back on the Steve Holcim Show, Tom Emmer has caught whatever Jesse Waters has, and I love it. He's being called every name in the book, just like Jesse. I'll tell you why, and actually you'll hear why coming up next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. And you can give me a call if you'd like to, 701-271-1100. Text line as well, 701-271-1100. Email, studio@flagfamily.com. Emailer Dan says, Steve, the U.S. Senate and House should have banana ball games. Clown is an appropriate name for the Senate. And baboons would be appropriate for the House since Congress is the correct name for a bunch of baboons. I did not know that. If you get a group of baboons together, it's called a Congress. Huh. It would be the only thing either House gets done in 2 hours all year. Very nice. Good one, Dan. Very good. You don't get that just anywhere on the radio dial. Coming up in just a few minutes, Bridget Riedel will be here with us, and I'm going to talk to her about a few different things. I was thinking about fly control in the for our cattle producers when I was driving around out in Watford City the other day, and that's something growing up. You know, we had hogs and cattle on our feedlot, cattle in the feedlot, And the flies were always an issue. And I was thinking I should ask Bridget, like, how we do fly control these days. Do we have, like, drones that fly over and zap the flies? I'm sure technology has helped us a little bit on that. So that, we'll talk about some kind of rainfall patterns we've had. That's been looking pretty good there as well. What's the biggest economic pressure point for the farmers right now? So lots of good stuff to get into with Bridget. And the farm economy is all of our economy in this state. Big, big part of what we do. All right, time for the best thing I heard all day. Yesterday, I played for you a clip from Jesse Waters. And Jesse, as I mentioned yesterday, has just gotten, like, I don't give a bleep anymore. And I think a lot of us conservatives are there. Back when George Floyd died, whatever you think of that, it created this groundswell that the liberals and the experimentarians took advantage of. And their playbook was, let's go to these, you know, good-hearted, kind, sincere white people and say that you guys are the reason that black people are having a hard time. And if they raise any issue or argue at all, we'll just call them racists. And they'll be so horrified that someone called them a racist that they'll shut up. And we did, many of us, for way too long. Well, Jesse Waters doesn't care anymore. And we heard that yesterday. And while Jesse might have said a little differently than I would have, I love the spirit of what he said. Let's not get into too much about exactly what words were chosen. Let's talk about the spirit that was chosen. Well, the same thing is happening in other places as well. Tom Emmer was hosting a kind of a town hall meeting in Minnesota where he was sounding off about how the fraud that's happened in Minnesota and what we're now seeing in other states has been something that's really going to define the 2020s. You were going to have a lot, right? You're going to have COVID. You're going to have George Floyd, the DEI stuff, the trans movement. But you're also going to have the fraud. That'll be in the history book from this decade, no question about that. And Tom Emmer chose some words that got him in trouble with certain Minnesota politicians. So we're going to play. There is, let's see here, about 2 minutes here of this clip from Emmer. And he, too, apparently, is done caring about what anybody thinks about him or if someone wants to call him a racist. And here's a little bit about how that sounds.
Guess what? There is nothing racist about calling out a criminal. So when I say that... It's time. It's time. I mean, this is what they do in the great state of Minnesota. You know, our culture, that Scandinavian culture, by the way, I better make it clear before I go any farther. Minnesotans, are there any here? Ah, good. Then let me just say... Okay, well, born, yeah, you're wearing that hat. You must be from northern Minnesota, the Iron Range. No, probably closer to Iowa. No, I'm going to leave that alone. The reason I bring it up is because I tell people regularly, Minnesota did not create passive-aggressive behavior, but we did perfect it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I happen to be more on the aggressive-aggressive side, which... doesn't always work in Minnesota, as Ralph will tell you. You know, sometimes Minnesotans are so afraid that you're going to call us a racist, you're going to call us an Islamophobe, you're going to call us some name that we just don't want to get into that fight. You know what? I would argue that I never did care, but I'm done being careful, even the least bit careful. And I don't really care where you come from, but if you come to this great country, you have to understand you're coming here to be an American. We celebrate everyone's culture. We're happy with that as long as you are an American. Celebrate your culture. I don't care. Italian, Polish, Somali, okay? But they don't assimilate. And if they don't assimilate, then they should go the hell back to where they came from. Sorry, Ralph. I know this is a family show. can't help myself today.
All right. So it was not in Minnesota. Sorry. It was out in D.C., but apparently there were a number of Minnesotans that were there. And, of course, it didn't take long for Angie Craig, who wants to be the next U.S. senator from the state of Minnesota, to put out a post reacting to that. And she just has four words in her social media post. She says, "This is racist, Tom. This is racist, Tom. I'm struggling to find the racism here, and maybe you can help me. I know that there are a number of you who listen to the show just to find the one thing I say that doesn't come out quite right or that you don't like or whatever, and, you know, to send that my way to remind me of what an idiot I am or what I'm a hateful racist or whatever I am. So help me find where the racism is there, because I don't see it." And I think he went overboard, really, to say that we are accepting of people of all kinds to come into our country and into our state. I don't care where you come from, but if you come to this great country, you have to understand you're coming here to be an American. We celebrate everyone's culture, and he's right. It is a time-honored part of our country where we say, hey, the Jews or the Greeks or the Swedes or the Poles or whoever, they're having a picnic in the park. Cinco de Mayo. We love that stuff here. We do. Tell me a conservative that ever got mad about celebrating Cinco de Mayo. It's not just because you get a half-price margarita. We all came from different places, and we all get that. Celebrate your culture. We do as a country. But if you don't assimilate, you should go back to where you came from. Where in there did he talk about the color of somebody's skin? Or or a bigotry against somebody's race? It wasn't any of that. But Angie Craig is going to look for any tough talk and say, oh, that's racist. Drives me nuts. Drives me crazy. All right, when we come back, our friend Bridget Reed will talk in farming next. Emailer Hannah said, "Steve, back when the Italians started coming to the United States in the 40s and 50s, a lot of people were nervous about that too. But I think even back then, we all knew that the Italians were coming here to be Americans. They weren't coming here to be Italians." You know, this is funny, Hannah, because me and my dad used to have this debate all the time. Me as a young conservative and my dad as a weathered liberal, a good solid Democrat. And dad would always say that, like, you know, hey, you know, we got to have people come to the country here. And it's how we've always done. I said, absolutely. And he would bring up the fact that the Italians in the 50s, people were like really worried that, you know, the mob bosses or whatever were coming over here. And maybe some of them did. But I said, yeah, but dad, they have their neighborhoods, you know, Little Italy or whatever, but they don't hate America. They're coming here because they want to remember some of the things that they had back before, but they want the opportunity in this country, and we now know that they have blended in, and they are Americans, and many of them are people that have served in many conservative positions. So thank you, Hannah. You bring me back to a conversation you used to have with my dad all the time about that one. All right, at 33 past the hour, every Friday, we had a chance to chat with our good friend Bridget Riedel, Fieldstone Group Ag Director, joining us here on The Flag and WDAY Radio, kind of wherever we need her along the way. We're always thankful for her input to the program. Good morning, young lady. How are you?
Fabulous. And how about yourself?
Good. Yes, doing great. Thank you. I wanted to ask you a few questions here this morning. I know you have many things to talk to us about, but a couple of quickies for you before we get into that. I was hearkened back to my younger days. When I was at home and we had a feedlot with our cattle, and the flies were always a problem. And you could hang up, you know, fly strips or whatever, but especially right around this time of the summer, the deer flies would start showing up and the horse flies, and you know, that, you know, you could tell that the cattle were getting irritated by them. And I'm just wondering, with all the technology we have now, how do we do fly control these days? I'm assuming we're better at it than we used to be, but I guess I really don't know.
I kind of love that you brought this up, because many people are surprised when we talk about how we can be using drones in so many ways in the field. But what about for cattle? Because having just recently been on a dairy farm where they really are getting cattle used to having a drone around and then flying the drone overhead to drop fly control products. And the cows don't mind it. Plus, the drone sort of stirs away the pests, if you will. Or if you don't have animals in a feedlot, you can spray over the feedlot with that drone in order to knock down the larvae and so forth. So it's kind of neat that we've gotten a little bit better at it. Actually, feeds now will come with fly control. Apparently, garlic is something that flies don't like.
Oh.
So there is a feed additive that has a garlic flavor to it, if you will, that the cattle eat. Cattle are fine with it. I don't know if that means it's pre-seasoning my steak before I get to butchering, but because my meat's going to have a little garlic taste to it. But it's just one of those little ways that folks are getting ahead of what happens when it comes to insects and how they bother our livestock. I thought those were pretty neat tricks.
Yes. Well, I figured drones would be involved somehow, because now you can send them into really tight spaces and they're not real loud. They're small, but yet, you know, like you say, if you program the thing to drop some product down, or you're just, like you say, stir up the air a little bit even, it sure doesn't hurt anything.
And, you know, getting cattle used to something new. It used to be that many of us used horses with our livestock and they were fine with that. Then we went to four-wheelers and side-by-sides, and you had to spend a little time so that the cattle didn't get spooked. Now we're doing the same thing with drones. I have a producer over in Barnes County that he's got some areas in the river valleys around the Cheyenne River that are tough to get into, even by horse. And in order to move cattle from one pasture to the other, he will use a drone to herd them out of some areas. So technology isn't always bad. We're finding new and unique ways. I don't think that drones are going to overtake everything we do on the farm, but they're another new tool, like that shiny crescent wrench you got for Christmas.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. No, it's amazing. And we're going to, you know, just like today, you know, on the farm growing up, you know, you're like, well, who's ever going to use a computer on the farm? Well, my gosh. You know, now it's like, where are you not using them? So I'm sure drone technology and, you know, being able to move something around through the air is a big deal.
When you mention a computer, you know, one of the things that we tend to do is most of us as human beings are innately cheap. I don't want to overpay for anything. And so we'll go off to our favorite retailer and we'll buy a laptop. Ooh, that's on clearance, or that desktop. We're going to take that back to our farm and we're going to use that in the shop. Maybe we're scrolling our friends over at Steffes Group at their auction site. Maybe we are, you know, doing some work with our USDA paperwork, talking to our bank, and we're using discounted older commercial grade hardware to run multi-million dollar businesses. And when you think about that, that's probably not your best method for saving money, because if you have a lack of security, if you don't have good quality hardware, backups, integration into your routers and systems, you can be losing information, and hackers are very easy to attack it. So consider that. Maybe that's not the place we should buy the cheapest item.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When is buying the cheapest thing the best option? Yeah,
not really. Always.
Yeah,
not
hardly
always.
Ever, yeah. driving out to Watford City over the last couple of days, I was struck by how green it is out there. They've gotten some good rain out there, and my friend Vanita Best says they're expecting more rain maybe coming up here in the next week or so out there. Well, that's got to be great news for our ranchers out west and probably everywhere. Is there anywhere in the state that's really dry right now?
First of all, can I tell you how much I love that you talked to Vanita, because she and I were in college together. What a great lady.
No, you were not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. And when I came.
Yeah, she is the best.
When I came back from Billings, Montana last night.
No pun intended.
I had the opportunity to take a look at Western North Dakota as well. U.S. Drought Monitor currently shows us that we do have some slightly dry areas, you know, we call them abnormally dry, through probably that Minot area down to southwest North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Bordering most of the Montana line, we also can say that it looks moderate drought. But I agree with you. Rain has continued to fall. The area looks green. Most folks are pretty happy with how it looks at this point. I saw a lot of blooming canola. I think the crop is in really nice shape. Better yet, our pastures look excellent.
Yeah.
And so recovery from that area, especially around Watford City and to its northeast where they had wildfires in the fall of 24, what a wonderful opportunity for recovery now to get that grass coming back. They're far ahead than our friends down in Nebraska who have had less than a half inch of rainfall since their wildfires back in March, and they have had to ship cattle out of state to pastures in order to continue to feed them. So I feel real good about where we sit as a state right now. In fact, the Devil's Lake on a northeast trajectory through the northeast end of the Red River Valley, they're tired of wearing water wings to drive down the road. Yeah. They'd be okay if it rained less right there.
Isn't that something? How crazy is that? You talked about computers earlier. You know, when I for the first time, I've been meaning for years to get to Pete and Vanita Best's spring bull sale. But I went this year, and I think it was in March, and there was not a hoof in the whole arena, the big barn where they did the sale. It was all on video.
Yes.
I'm like, boy, if Roger Hallstrom could see today how we do bull sales in 2026, but it goes so much faster, right? And the guys have come to check out the bulls ahead of time in person or whatever, but that's another area where technology is really changing how everything is done. So lots of applications there.
So much fun to watch. Other things that are changing, we know that this week Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Boozman out of Arkansas, he has released his discussion draft of the Farm Bill. That came out on Tuesday, very similar to the version that was marked up by the House Ag Committee. It's budget neutral. It was dubbed the Farm Bill 2.0, has several highly contentious Republican priorities that were omitted, such as California's Prop 12, which does tie the hands of pork producers in the state of Iowa because it changes the confinement requirements, which will add to the cost of producing pork in that state. It also did not have year-round E15 sales in that discussion, which would be our ethanol blend that could be available in all states year-round. So discussion always continues in these things, but we do know that at this point we saw that draft coming out to us from Boozman, and it's going to be highly reviewed, and people are going to have a lot of discussion about it over the next couple weeks.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. We were talking earlier about rainfall, and I know that some farmers, they kind of out by the Valley City area, didn't get all their corn in just because it was so rainy there for a while, and they ended up going to canola or something like that. Has there been any trends that way that you can tell where weather means we're not, on a wider scale, going to get the kind of crop in that we thought we were going to, or is any of that just kind of your normal variance of the planting season?
I think it's our normal variance of the planting season, but we do have a lot more looking for a specialty crop with a wider margin of profitability than we see with a corn and soybean. If folks can hunt down those contracts that get them into dry edible beans, dry peas, sunflowers, millets, they are certainly looking to take those opportunities whenever they possibly can. And I don't blame them. It does add more time. The amount of work that you have to do in the field on a soybean versus a dry edible bean is about double, because those edible beans, they just require a bit more loving, tender care, you might say.
Yeah.
But we do know that farmers are looking for that variety. North Dakota is very lucky that because of our climate, we have the opportunity to take advantage of that. That's why you see canola and flax and barley fields. And it's a matter of, can I find a contract that brings me a guaranteed delivery with a guaranteed price? And can I ship to that area? Because that gets rather difficult when you've got to be trucking multiple miles to get somewhere in order to deliver a product.
Yeah, good stuff. Bridget, always appreciate the visits. Have a great weekend. Thanks for making a few minutes for me today.
I am so glad to do it, and thanks for just mixing it up and talking about whatever it might be at the top of your mind today.
Well, I'm curious, and I have a lot of questions because there's a lot I don't know, and you always have the answers, so appreciate you, sister. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thanks.
Thanks so much. The one and only Bridget Riedel. Hey, I've got the lunch specials here for PetroServe USA today, and again, they look terrible. I don't know how anyone would want to eat any of this. Valley City Spaghetti and Meatballs, Harwood Chicken Fettuccine, 12th Avenue, General Sow's Chicken, 205 NP Avenue, Swedish Meatballs. They've got the Taco Mac in Ada today, Chip Beef at 45th Street in Fargo. Castleton's got the Sloppy Joe's, Glendon Tater Tot Hot Dish, Wahpeton Swedish Meatballs. Cheyenne's got Mac and Beef. You get some beef stew in Grand Forks by the Alera Center today, and over at the South Washington store in Grand Forks, cheese ravioli Alfredo. Yum! PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. When we come back, foreign investment into the U.S. is exploding. I've got the numbers for you. If you like helping people solve problems, my friends down at Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton say, hey, we've got a job for you. We got a sales job for you that's going to pay you a ton of money just for helping people solve the problem of how they get into better better transportation than what they have already. And if you are one who likes to solve problems and you like the idea of helping people find a great set of wheels, well, then the gang down at Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton would love to have you on their team. They're hiring in their sales team. Basically, you're helping people that come in the dealership or people that you know look and find that great car, truck, or SUV that they've been looking for. Put your service career in overdrive. Drive with Vision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. I saw a couple of numbers that jumped out at me here on over the last few days. And, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I love this kind of thing. And not that money is everything, but it does help us understand a whole lot of things. And it does give us options. Money doesn't solve your problems, but it gives you options to solve the problems that come up when they do. So the first number, which made me go, what? Was quarter one personal income growth state by state. This comes from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, and economist E.J. Antonio put this out on his social media. The fastest growing state in the country in the fourth quarter, or in the first quarter of this year, was North Dakota. On average, our personal income went up 22.4% year over year first quarter from last year. And I said to myself, that cannot be right. And the slowest was Hawaii. It went down 24%. And then I started looking at the other states on this map. South Dakota is up 11, almost 12. Nebraska is up 8. Montana, Kansas, 7. Oklahoma, 6. Louisiana, 6. West Virginia, 5. All red states, heartland of America. Minnesota also up, by the way, 7%. And I tried to do some digging, like, how could this be? That how did we go from the fourth quarter to the first quarter, and we saw that kind of a change? And so I asked my friend Claude, one of my AI search tools I use, like, how does this happen? And the response I got back was, well, your first instinct should always be to look at two highly volatile industries, agriculture and energy, and that's North Dakota. And it starts with a relatively small population like we have in our state, and any massive shift in ag revenue or energy revenue moves the economic needle. And according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the primary engine was a surge in net farm earnings. And apparently farmers had a strong quarter, whether that's crop insurance payouts, maybe there's a jump in commodity prices, or timing of grain sales into the first quarter that brings cash directly into the state's personal income ledger there. So that made sense to me. And I know that a lot of times there are sales that happen in the first quarter that aren't happening in the fourth. So that's a little bit of it there. But still a pretty good sign. It doesn't tell you everything, doesn't tell you why, doesn't tell you if it's good or bad, but it just tells you that our farmers were selling a lot of product in the first quarter of the year. So I thought that was an interesting note there. So that was the first one. Second one I saw was from another great economics newsletter that I follow, which is the Kobesi Letter. Adam Kobesi is an economist. You see him on Fox News Channel and places like that as well. And their note is that foreign investment in the U.S. is exploding. In the 12 months ending April of 2026, U.S. net capital inflows, this is people investing in one way or shape in our economy, whether that's foreign investors buying stocks, whether that's foreign companies bringing manufacture, whether it's foreign companies that are building manufacturing or trying to, you do things here in the States, capital investment of some kind, whatever it is, the inflow number for that 12-month period was $884 billion. That's how much outside money is entering our country through private investors and institutions that are buying assets here in the country. That number nearly tripled since the start of 2025. And what happened at the start of 2025? Well, you know who got elected. If you go back to 2021, what was the best we did during that time? $400 billion. That was the best we had in 2021. Less than half of the current levels there. Global appetite for U.S. assets has never been higher than it is under Donald Trump. These are the headlines. These are the stories that nobody talks about. They're a little deep in the weeds. I get all that. But this means when you're investing here, you're seeing these companies grow. You're seeing labor. You're seeing jobs created. All of the things we talk about that create a healthy economy, not the government spending, but private enterprise and private citizens spending and investing. It's a beautiful thing. All right, my friend, that'll do it for the show today. Thanks for hanging with me. Scotty's next on the What's On Your Mind show. Have a great weekend and keep on flying that flag.